turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 64. It's very easy for us to backslide from a position to which the Lord has brought us. I've noticed through the years that many people who have a genuine baptism in the Holy Spirit carry on wonderfully for a few weeks, some people a few months, and some people maybe a couple of years. But in almost every case I've seen, it's very rare exceptions, they all begin to backslide after that. And then when you compare their life with what it was before they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, to an outsider anyway, it would look that the life before the baptism in the Holy Spirit was better than what it is 2 years later. And with some people who claim to have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't seem to have made the slightest difference in their life. It's just as good as any other believer who is not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now the reason for this is, I believe, that when a person realizes that there's something lacking in his life and begins to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he's very earnest. And he seeks God, he sets aside special times for prayer. Maybe he fasts, maybe he searches his heart, cleanses his heart, denies himself. There's a whole lot of things which improves the whole quality of his Christian life. And then, one day he is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And now he's got what he wanted. And of course his experience is, some people feel as if they're in heaven for a few days. And then they begin to backslide. Can you please close that door? And then they begin to backslide and go down because now they've got what they wanted. There's no need now to fast or pray or seek God like the old days. There's no need for any of those things, because everything is now obtained which one wanted. And that's the reason for backsliding, because they think that if I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, I got it, I got everything. No. There's still a need to take up the cross every day. There's still a need to listen to what God is saying every day. There's still a need for fellowship with other believers. There's still a need to keep a clear conscience. There's still a need to humble oneself. And if we neglect all those things, saying, well, I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have a candidate who's going to backslide to a lower level than a lot of other believers. Now, I want to ask you, all of you sitting here, how many of you have a clear assurance that you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And how many of you are living in the daily enjoyment of an open heaven? I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, we can talk about the excesses of the charismatics and the Pentecostals, and that's true, there are excesses. But also among them are many who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's a prayer of Isaiah here in chapter 64 and verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down. Isaiah 64 verse 1. That the mountains might quake at thy presence. Everything that hinders the will of God is like a mountain. We pray that it might quake as fire kindles the brushwood, as fire causes water to boil. Fire that will burn up everything that needs to be burnt up, and that will boil everything that needs to be boiled. And the whole purpose is to make your name known to your enemies, that the nations may tremble at your presence. And when you did awesome things which we did not expect, you came down and the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old they have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen a God besides thee who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him. That's a verse quoted in 1 Corinthians 2 in relation to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit now reveals those things which in Isaiah's time could not be revealed. It was just that. God will do that, but in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, but God has revealed these things to us by His Holy Spirit. Thou dost meet Him who rejoices in doing righteousness. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to have this cry in your heart at all times. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down. Either in those words or in similar words. The words don't have to be the same. But God is a God who rewards those who diligently seek Him. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, says the Lord. If any man thirst, rivers of living water will flow from him. If we are satisfied with less than God's best, listen, we will have less than God's best. Whatever you're satisfied with, that's all you're ever going to get. And to be satisfied that we are understanding more truth is, how shall I picture it? It's like seeing pictures of food and thinking we are going to be fed by that. No picture of food will ever satisfy our hunger. We have to actually eat it. No picture of water will satisfy our thirst. It just make you more thirsty. Knowledge, even of the Spirit-filled life, is like a picture for a river flowing down. It doesn't satisfy anybody's thirst. And you should not be satisfied with knowledge of the truth. There must be a hunger in your heart. I want to ask all of you who are sitting here, do you cry out to God like that at any time in your life? Many questions that you have, many doubts that you have, would easily be solved if you cried out to God. It's very easy to be satisfied coming to 2 meetings a week, listening to a good message, and feeling temporarily stirred and thinking we're spiritual. See, you can live a clean life. I think there are a lot of people living in Bangalore who live a clean life and yet not be filled with the Holy Spirit, yet not accomplish God's purpose. You may not be listening to what God has to say to you, and thereby missing something that God has for you every day. I want to try and practice this evening something I have suggested to new churches. I want to encourage many brothers and sisters today. No compulsion, if you feel like it, to take 2 or 3 minutes this evening to share, not a message. We've heard enough messages from this pulpit. No preaching. But something that God has spoken to your heart in the last 1 week. If you didn't read your Bible the last 1 week, the last 1 month. Something God has recently spoken to you, not way back in the past. And not something you heard in a meeting. But something that, you know, God could have spoken to you when you saw an accident. Or when you escaped an accident. Or something from His Word. Something that the Holy Spirit spoke to you. As I said, there's no compulsion. You don't have to cook up something right now to try and say, well, I have to say something. I mean, if you can't remember anything that God spoke to you in the last 10 days, that's fine. Just keep quiet. But don't say something for saying sake. And even if you don't get a chance to say something, ask yourself, can you think of something God spoke to you in the last 1 week? I mean, God actually speaks to us every day. And I'd say if we have not heard God for even 2 or 3 days, we have already started backsliding. I believe one day, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Exhort one another daily, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Daily. We have to be exhorted daily, and we don't meet daily. So the only one who can exhort me daily is the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, how can I fulfill that verse? You know that verse? Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And we don't meet each other daily. So, how to experience that verse? Only through the Holy Spirit exhorting us so that we don't get hardened. So what I've said to new churches is, you know, when there are only 5 or 6 people meeting together, I said the best thing for you to do after somebody shared the word is, each of you take 2 or 3 minutes to share what you read in the word, maybe just reading a verse. If you don't have much to say, you can stand up where you are and read something, but read something that blessed your heart. If God spoke it to your heart, you can be absolutely sure that it'll bless other people. Definitely. Almost all the time, what I try to speak is what God spoke to my heart. Because I know if He spoke it to my heart, it must be for other people also. Because my flesh is the same as other people's flesh, and my need is the same as your need, and the tendency to be hardened and tendency to backslide is the same in me as in you. So you can be sure that if you share something from your heart which God spoke to you, it will bless others, brothers or sisters. I want you to see in Acts of the Apostles in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out, Peter says, verse 15, these people are not drunk, but this is what the prophet Joel spoke, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh and all mankind. Acts 2:17. My brothers and sisters, these are the days in which we are living. These are the days when the Spirit of God is being poured out. Don't miss it. You know, it's something like if the government, the corporation of Bangalore, said they were going to give free building sites, empty plots, to all those who came on a certain day to a particular office. Free. Can you imagine what the length of that queue will be? For land in Bangalore. Many of us would probably take leave and go and stand in that queue. Even though it may take hours in the hot sun. Would you do that to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You've got to ask yourself. However spiritual we may imagine ourselves to be, I think many of us have to acknowledge we have backslidden to a place where material things mean more to us than the spiritual. And it's very easy, my brothers, to have a form of godliness, to keep going and deny the inner power. Beware of it. Beware of a form without power. We've got the right form here. It doesn't mean everybody's got power. Here it says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. I really believe we need that. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy when the Holy Spirit is poured out. That means they are going to speak forth what God spoke to them. That's exactly what I'm saying. And they won't need any urging. They're going to do it. And they won't just do it in the meeting. They'll do it wherever they get an opportunity to open their mouth and prophesy and tell people about Jesus. About what God's done for them. And your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even if you're a slave, again it says, verse 18, men and women, I will pour out my Spirit. And again it says, they shall prophesy. What does it mean to prophesy? Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 3. In the Old Testament, it was not like that. The Holy Spirit was not poured out on everyone. Everyone could not prophesy. An Old Testament meeting is something like most of our meetings are, where you listen to one or two people and then go home. That was a typical Old Testament meeting. But a New Testament meeting, and we have very rarely seen that, is where many people have a word from God. And it doesn't have to be a long word. Jesus used to sometimes speak one word, one sentence. He who is without sin, cast the first stone. Finished. Sermon over. And people wouldn't forget it all their life. Render to Caesar what Caesar's and to God what's God's. Sermon over. People wouldn't forget it. It is anointed words. So it's not a question of a long explanation and all that. That is prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, one who prophesies speaks to men for three things. For edification, exhortation, and comfort, consolation. That means building up people spiritually, challenging them, encouraging them. And I'm sure if God gives us words, there'll be words that encourage people or challenge people or build them up. Or all three. And when the Spirit is poured out upon us, we will prophesy. Earnestly desire. It says here in verse 14, verse 1. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Especially that you may prophesy. All brothers, all sisters, according to Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18, earnestly desire that you may prophesy, that from your mouth will come forth words that are going to challenge, encourage, build up the people you meet. That there be a constant cry in your heart, even if you wake up in the middle of the night, God, rend the heavens and come down upon me, pour out your Spirit upon me, revive me, Lord, revive me. Keep me in a constant state of revival, that I can always be a challenge to everyone I meet. That everyone I meet will repent, be set on fire. That's God's will for all of us. You know, the church is like the burning bush. The burning bush was a bush that God dwelt in the bush, and God dwells in the church. And every branch of that bush was on fire. It wasn't just one or two odd branches here and there. The whole bush was on fire. Just think, if we could be a church like that, where every twig and branch is on fire, flaming with devotion to Christ. Okay, let there be some visitors in our midst. There'll always be visitors. There'll always be babies. There'll always be backsliders. Ignore them. But if those of us who are serious about following the Lord constitute that burning bush. The others are not part of the bush in any case. They're just visiting. And if we can be like that, can you imagine what will be the result? What God can do? It says Moses stopped to listen to what God had to say. And you never know. People will stop to hear. They stopped on the day of Pentecost. I don't know what those thousands of people were doing, but they stopped whatever they're doing to listen. That was the burning bush with 11 people filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is what God wants us to be as a church. So I want to encourage you to seek God for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, not just today, but every day. Have you backslidden? Have you gone back? Have you lost your first love? Have you lost your devotion to Jesus? Have you got taken up with your work and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust for other things? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for many, many, many things. They choke the word. Remember when Martha was busy doing so many things for the Lord and she came before Jesus? Jesus said, Martha, you're distracted. You are distracted about many things. That's what he said in Luke 10:42. Martha, Martha, you are distracted about many things. It was not a condemnation. It was a very gentle correction. And I think that's how the Lord tells us this evening to some of us. You are distracted, my son, my daughter, about many, many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part to listen to me, and that will not be taken away from her. I'm not going to send her away from here to the kitchen to do something second best, to work for me. She wants to take the best, to listen to me. And then when I finish speaking to her, she'll go and work for me. Sure. Those who listen do work. But they listen first. So, are you hung up with questions and doubts and arguments and being a busybody in matters that don't concern you one bit? Are you like that this evening? And the Lord says to you by name, you are distracted. You are distracted with 101 things, or even 10 things, or one thing. It's got nothing to do with you. It's none of your business. Will you do one thing while you're sitting in that chair? All the areas where you are poking your head and things which don't concern you, can you cast it on the Lord and say, Lord, I am going to chuck this right now. I'm not going to be bothered anymore about that. I'm going to spend my life listening to you and seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to waste my time judging other people, finding fault, criticizing, being a busybody in other people's matters, finding out all types of unnecessary information, arguing, going back and forth on this and that and the other thing, and waste my life. I've got only one life. I can't afford to waste it. Take it seriously, brothers and sisters. Take it seriously. Pray that prayer to God. Be serious with God tonight. And say, Lord, I want you to pour your Spirit upon me, to make me a man with a single mind and a single eye for the glory of God. That everyone who ever meets me anywhere will be blessed, challenged, not polluted with a whole lot of information that's already polluted me and that I want to pollute him with. Many of us are polluted with information. And you pass on that information to other people to pollute them. The garbage stinks in your house and you take some of it and pass it on to somebody else. Finish with it. Ask Jesus to forgive you and cleanse you for doing all that. And go around edifying, exhorting, encouraging people. Prophesy. Let the Spirit be poured out upon you. Encourage and challenge your husband. Encourage and challenge your wife. Prophesy to one another. Why not? It doesn't mean something strange. It just means sharing what God has spoken to you with somebody else. So let's do a little bit of that.
You are invited to visit our website on the internet at www.cfcindia.com. That is www.cfcindia.com, and at punen.org/Zach, that is punen.org/ZAC, for video messages, audio messages, and books by Zach Poonen that can all be downloaded freely. Our mailing address is Christian Fellowship Center, 40 DeCosta Square, Bangalore, 560084, India. If you would like to receive a weekly message by Zach Poonen by email, please send us your email address to cfclit@touchtelindia.net. That is cfclit@touchtelindia.net. The Lord bless you richly.